would like now to move on to part B of agenda 14. And this is an item where we ask our parent organizations, WHO and FAO, to highlight the work that is being undertaken in the various regions of CODEX, also to bring to our attention the various planned activities and also maybe some of the challenges that are being encountered in that aspect. I'm not sure who is going to start. Right, WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in the interest of time, we will not go in detail through the paper. Again, we are talking about agenda item B14B with reference to document CAC 1134/15. Part one in this document, which going through page 4, paragraph 16, is a description of recently held expert meetings jointly held and organized by FAO and WHO, and they relate to requests that have been brought forth directly by relevant CODEX committees. Listed here the recent meetings that were held by CECFA, JMPR to address questions related to chemicals in food that were brought forth by CCFA, CCCF, and CCPR. And then we have a series of meetings that were held to address microbiological food safety issues as requested through the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, but also the Codex Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. Some of these activities are increasingly held by electronic means. I would like to point out that another activity listed in paragraph 7, an ad hoc meeting was held to address a controversial issue, bisphenol A, a chemical contaminant that can be found in food, and the summary report has been published. The final report is being printed right now and will be available shortly. So will be extensive background documents to this specific topic that was addressed by FAO and WHO based on request of member states and did not come directly from any of the Codex committees. Then there's a number of publications listed that resulted from these meetings that I was just referring to, and the web links are all listed in the relevant document. Then the next paragraphs give an indication of upcoming scientific meetings, again in request to specific in response to specific requests brought forth by relevant Codex committees, which is, I think, all that I would like to say to part one. And then going over to part two, where we go in the nutrition area, and I would like to hand over to my colleague from the Nutrition Department if there are no questions to the first part. Thank you.
Thank you.
I understand that FAO wants to say something before we move to nutrition. So, FAO, please.
Yes, just as this is a joint activity, just some small bits of information in addition to what has been mentioned already. And I turn to paragraph 4, where the web-based decision support tools for the control of Campylobacter and Salmonella in chicken meat, and sampling tools, microbiological sampling tools, they are not available yet, but they are very well on the way to being finalized. But also there will be case studies developed using these tools to better understand how they can be used in practice. One other thing that I would like to mention is the call for data in paragraph 15. That's a call for data and experts on foodborne parasitic diseases, following on from the 42nd session of the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene, which we have just talked about. This call is a bit wider than the two parasites that were mentioned in the work requested by CCFH, and I urge all of you who are working in this area in your countries to please go to the link and see if you have data that would be pertinent to submit. The deadline is the 31st of July. Thank you very much.
Thank you, FAO. Can we continue with WHO, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to quickly introduce the two items that we had included under Part 2. One relates to the work, ongoing work of WHO Nutrition Guidance Expert Advisory Group, NUGAG. I will not go into the details as there is the detailed description of the current ongoing work of particularly three subgroup, one on micronutrients, two on diet and health, and then the third, nutrition in the life course and under nutrition. As far as the NUGAG is concerned, I understand that there was a question about the NUGAG at the earlier agenda items. The NUGAG was established in order to respond to the required new WHO guideline development process, which was implemented in organization-wide in WHO, and in order to ensure that the WHO guidelines are developed in ways consistent with the best practice and the basic base, not experts' opinions per se. So therefore, the NUGAG has replaced, it is not in addition to the currently existing mechanism, but the NUGAG has now replaced the old mechanism for developing recommendations through the ad hoc expert consultations which we used to have in nutrition. So I just wanted to make that clarification. And the second item which we noted here was the ongoing work of the development of guidance on the development and adaptation of the nutrient profiling models. We are undertaking some field testing in a number of countries. We have completed the field testing in three countries so far, in South Africa, Canada, and Thailand. And there are several more countries who will be undertaking the field testing of these guiding principle manuals. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. Are there general comments from the floor on the submission? Uganda, please. Quick ones, please.
Thank you, Chair. There was an initiative by WHO to undertake the burden of disease study for food safety related. The FAO BOD, I would be very grateful if we could know what is the status, because it would actually help us to, first of all, to develop the baselines for our data and also to provide the gap, to fill the gaps in the strengthening the data status for our countries. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The initiative on the assessment of the burden of disease had two sides. One was the global burden of disease assessment for foodborne diseases in general, and that work is continuing at a lower pace, and the issue is really an issue of the continuation of funding. So we've now secured enough funds for the those studies to continue. More importantly, there was an effort to start with four pilot countries to develop national burden of disease assessments. There was an open competition. Four countries won the competition, if you like. One of them is Uganda. Again, the delays in terms of providing funding was because we did not receive them in time. We have certain support that has been provided, and I think within the next couple of months you'll see that these studies will start as well. The challenge for you and the countries is really to link the burden of disease assessment with the scientific data needed for the standard setting. But again, I think it's the move, you will see movement on that front very, very soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that clarification, WHO. So I'd like now to request FAO to continue with the rest of the agenda item, especially capacity building. FAO, please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we'll continue in relation to the part two. You find information on how you can support the provision of scientific advice through the global initiative by FAO and WHO through the funding mechanisms that you can read all about there, and which also we talked about during the side event. I would like to also mention that we are starting to do surveys on the quality and utility of the food safety related scientific advice provided to Codex committees, and we have established a sort of a baseline for this work through a web-based questionnaire that was sent out to a limited number of heads of the limited number of committees and to all the heads of delegations to those committees. There were outside in the foyer in the beginning of the meeting a number of copies. This study has shown that there is quite a good receiving of the advice in terms of different aspects. I will not go into detail here. We plan to conduct another survey by the end of this year with the same committees, the CCFA, the CCCF, and CCFH, to follow up and see if there are any improvements, but also to consider possible further development of these kinds of surveys to look at impact assessment. And I saw that all those copies that were there have already been taken, so at least 100 persons here in the room have a copy of that. When we do the next survey, we will try to combine so that we can have something that we can put on the website, but we thought that this particular baseline survey was not really something that we would like to highlight too much, but we more that the work has been started. There is information here also on our new emergency prevention system for food safety, and which has become more and more important because we have more and more food scandals, and FAO is asked to assist countries in during food safety emergencies, but also we would like to be able to assist countries to prepare in advance of emergencies, and we have we are starting to develop some guidance documents on risk analysis during food safety emergencies, for example, and to have a food safety emergency preparedness planning. And so this is something that we have started last year, and we are recruiting two officers to better deal with all the work that's been going on in this area, as you can imagine, from all different kinds of emergency issues that have cropped up during the last year. I would like finally to also point to paragraph 25, that we are not only providing scientific advice, but we are also trying to implement the scientific advice and the approaches to risk reduction, in particular in relation to microbiological hazards in foods, in practice, in value chains. And we have had one successful project in Uganda. And we are also conducting a series of studies in Kenya, partly in collaboration with WHO in relation to antimicrobial resistance as well in the poultry value chain. And we hope that we will be able, through the capacity development, to continue these kinds of activities, which actually give more concrete results in food safety control programs in the countries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, FAO. I apologize, we'll have to stop there, given the time. But we need to note that there is a lot of information that has been given under this agenda item. And I would request that WHO, please.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I apologize to come in here. I'm very aware of the time constraints we have. I wanted to make two, three quick, very last comments that also relate to the previous discussion on the Codex Trust Fund. Just to make again very clear, scientific advice activities, they feed into the Codex standard setting process, but they are independent of Codex. They are not part of Codex. That's important to understand, because also the funding mechanisms are separate. The scientific advice activities we are presenting in this paper, again, are not part of Codex. They're importantly interlinked, but they're not part of. Secondly, the point that was made about data availability and availability of expertise in all regions of the world, it is very difficult for us to be able to identify that. Therefore, it is critically important that the experts and data holder respond to our call for experts and call for data that we publish regularly and disseminate as widely as possible, also through all the Codex contact points and through all the Codex contact lists. So it's critically important that you provide this information when we have calls for data and calls for expert out, that you forward this information to relevant interested parties, researchers and other organizations, so that we are able to get access to the expertise and to the data. Please allow me to be very strong in this message. I would say it is part of your responsibility as part of a member in the Codex family to help us get this message out to the right people, so that we can expand the database and the expert that are involved in the scientific advice that forms the basis of Codex safety standards. And the very last point, very quick, I have to say this, I apologize, reference to paragraph 28. I don't want to belabor the point, but I have to point out there that the scientific advice programs, in particular at WHO, faces very severe financial constraints and problems. Details are given here, and we explained it also in our side event yesterday, and some discussion on that was also held earlier under the earlier agenda item. And I leave it with this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, WHO, and thank you, FAO. As I said, we have run out of time and we need to stop here, but we need to take note of the deliberation of the Executive Committee. We need to reflect on that because this issue of scientific advice was deliberated upon and a recommendation made. I'm also aware that we have had some side events where detailed discussions have ensued. So I'd like to urge you to read and internalize the documents provided under this agenda item. So that closes agenda 14. I've already apologized for 14B. We have one more item to discuss under our agenda, and we are going to close interpretation at 5:30, so that's why we are trying to complete all the agenda items when we still have interpretation. So we apologize, but please bear with us. This is the last item I'm chairing, just like my colleague said. So I want to thank you for the last 3 years, the support you have given me as a person, but the Bureau has tried to work as a team. The Bureau has worked for Codex, for Commission. We believe we have made our contribution, and we would like to thank you for the cooperation and encouragement you have given us. Thank you very much. Sorry for the mix-up, but I understand that there are some important communication from our parent organizations as far as capacity building is concerned that they would like to share with us, and I would like to call upon FAO to provide that information. FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm very happy to be able to give you a very 2 or 3 minute overview on our capacity development work from FAO and WHO. The full detail is available in CAC 1134/15, Addendum 1 Rev. You have all the document in your set of papers. What we try to do every year in this paper is to give you an overview of the capacity development work carried out at country and regional level in both by FAO and WHO in your regions. So in this document you will find an update on recent tools and training materials that have been published since the last CAC. You will see that they cover the typical scope of work, covering health issues, food inspection, food safety issues, related to the scope of the work on food safety undertaken by FAO and WHO. We have also brought to your attention some, let's say, normative tools or networks that we're working on, or recent meetings and activities that have been completed. For example, work is ongoing on the FAO portal, the IPSA for food standards. We continue to maintain this, and also the data set for food safety assessment of our DNA plants. This continues to be maintained. There's also been a global meeting of InfoSan that was held by FAO and WHO in Abu, with the kind support of Abu Dhabi in the UAE, which was again dealing with very relevant issues in these times of food safety. In addition, in our document, and I apologize, I'm not going to go into any more detail with the time issue, but we've set out in the annexes, the activities that have been carried out in all the countries. And we would stress again that these are very much, as you know, FAO WHO capacity development activities are dealt with, or they start with you making a request in your country. Our national offices are very much involved, and our relevant technical colleagues in the regional and sub-regional offices. So we try to work as closely as possible to you in these capacity development activities. The details are given of the ongoing activities in each of the annexes. And you may be... There's also a number of activities related to the scientific advice or data collection type activities that we were discussing earlier on that we're dealing with also through our capacity development work in FAO and WHO. So it's a complementarity that we continue to maintain in this important area of scientific work and data generation. Okay, thank you very much. And just to add as one final point, we will have a side event tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4, I believe, in this room, where we will go into more detail on the capacity development work and some of the tools we're working on in FAO at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, FAO, for providing that emphasis of the work that is being done by both FAO and WHO. I have a few minutes, about 3 minutes, for comments from the floor. I don't see any, so it seems it has been very clear. And once again, WHO.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, again. I just mentioned briefly the financial situation for the scientific advice, and that aspect was discussed at the executive board meeting, and there was a specific recommendation actually to... I don't remember the exact wording, but to recommend member states to undertake all efforts to increase support for this activity and also to call on FAO and WHO for support. Something to that effect was recommended from the executive board, and I just wanted to draw the attention of the Commission to this. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. I recognize the flag of Guinea. Guinea, please.
Merci.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm speaking with regard to capacity building. I've seen in a table reference to regional workshops relating to geographical indications and qualities. I would like to know which body is responsible for organising this training, because we are not familiar with what is going on here. Thank you.
Yeah. FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This work on specific quality is under a programme that's been ongoing some years in FAO, within our Nutrition and Consumer Protection division. There's a number of activities in different regions, including, as you say, in your region. And this is very much focusing on issues related to socio and cultural aspects of food development, but also aspects related to geographical indication or issues related to products related to their specific origin identification. So this is a program that's ongoing within FAO, and I hope I've answered your question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Once again, we'd like to thank FAO and WHO for the various efforts that have been put in to build capacity in our respective regions and further codex work, further food safety, and also strengthen our national food control system. Thank you very much, FAO. Thank you very much, WHO. So we complete the agenda, and I'll now request that Chairperson Karen takes over the seat to complete the agenda.